Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
You can email us business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the unrivaled company of Kate English from Deloitte. Hello, Kate.
Hello, good morning.
And how are Tipperary faring in the championship thus far?
Oh, well, we had an awful weekend last weekend,
you
so
did.
We're still quite hurt, I'll be honest. But I still go to support them in Thurles on Sunday. One last shot.
Good. Will you make the final, you think?
No, we're out. We are out. We had a dismal display last weekend and so far in the championship. So we're gone, which is very unusual for a Tipperary fan to be. We're not even into June and my GAA summer is over, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry. he says as a Dublin fan.
You're not that sorry for me.
No. Anyway, listen, let's start with something that is close to our hearts and our palates. That is food and chocolate and biscuits and all that. Mondelez, which makes quite a few brands that we know, including Milka and Oreos. They had their fingers more and seriously wrapped by the EU yesterday over cross-border sales.
Yeah, with quite a significant fine. So they're, as you said, the owner of Toblerone, Milka and Oreo, amongst others. And they were fined $337.5 million for anti-competitive practices in the EU. And this was essentially from blocking selling of products across different countries at different prices. And I think we've seen quite a reaction from this in Europe and even again this morning from certain countries who are looking to put forward to the EU a paper on it because they're quite outraged with what happened. I suppose what I really take from this, because I don't know huge details about the specific case itself, but what it will force companies to do is to look at their practices.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the regulator is there for. It is to prevent these anti-competitive practices.
So let's just remind people what went on. Basically, Mondelez, which is a giant global American-owned company, owned all these incredible brands that people do demand to see on their shelves, was charging one price in one member state and a different price in a different state. And they were telling wholesalers what they could and couldn't charge so that wholesalers couldn't buy it, for example, cheaper in Luxembourg and then sell it in Belgium.
Exactly. But wholesalers were, I suppose, hand-tied in some respect because these are big brands.
They and they're afraid. The wholesalers are afraid.
Yes, and they want to have them in their stores. So if you want to have them in your stores, you need to purchase them. And if you were banned from doing it across in other countries where it was cheaper, you just had to buy it at the higher price.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people will be watching this because the single market means there should be no barriers whatsoever and wholesalers should be able to buy products from wherever they wish.
Exactly.
So Mondelez consider themselves in trouble.
The ethos of the EU, and that's why we'll probably, as we said, there's about 8 countries this morning that are due to put papers to the EU. So this isn't the end of it. But as we said, it will force companies across the bloc to look at their practices and their policies in place internally for selling products across the whole block.
Yeah, indeed. Of course, Mondelez would love to maintain it, but they have now been warned. Anyway, let's move back to something closer to home. The Square in Tala, it is up for sale. AIB have appointed receivers.
Correct. So AIB have appointed receivers to the Square in Tala. So the owners of that was Oaktree. And what we would have seen here, I suppose, is that the Square of Tala was actually on the market last year for about 175 or 180 million bids that had come in for it. I think there was about 4 bidding parties at the time. And the highest reported bid, according to media sources, was about 125 million. They weren't happy with that. Some of the owners of the Square were, others weren't. And so that was pulled from it. And we've now seen it gone into full liquidation or receivership. But I think what this is really reflective of is that we have seen, just as interest rates has affected all consumers and households, it's also had quite a significant impact on our commercial real estate market as well. And retail in itself is that little bit different in that prior to COVID-19, prior to interest rates increasing, retail valuations were under significant pressure as it was. And that, I suppose, was because we were seeing a change within that retail market, that rise of online sale and the shift of consumers to online purchases. So your industrial market gain quite a lot in terms of its valuation, and retail kind of come under a bit of pressure. And this, I suppose, is an impact of that.
And add in the additional costs that retailers have to pay since January.
Exactly, additional costs that retailers have to pay. Now, one thing I would say is I don't think this will spook the market. The market was expecting this to come from the Tala, from Tala Shopping Centre. And really what we've seen, actually, if we put this to the side, retail in its entirety has seen a bit of an improvement or a bounce back in the last 12 months. We've seen vacancy rates on some of our prime streets. If you walk down Grafton Street today, actually looks quite different to what it did 12 or 18 months ago. Mm. And the same with our shopping centres as well. New retailers having come in after they lost quite a lot of bigger names due to some of your larger UK retailers getting into trouble back in kind of 16, 17, 18.
House of Fraser, for example, pulling away
exactly,
from the market as well.
One very good example of it. So we've seen quite a shake-up in retail over, as I said, the last 12 or 18 months. This, the key of it is it won't spook the wider real estate market. It was expected and isn't necessarily reflective of wider trends that are happening on the market or on the ground.
Oh, well, talk about wider trends. Irish unemployment figures were out yesterday. Quite robust. It's still quasi-full employment.
Yes, in one way they got quite negative headlines. And I think, is this because we're getting so
complacent?
Used to really strong data within Ireland over the past number of years? And the reason it got quite negative headlines was because it was the lowest level of increase that we've had in a number of years. So it was an increase of 1.9%, still an addition of 51,500 jobs over the past 12 months.
And 2.7 million in employment.
A record number in employment. So there's still really strong employment figures. And also within that, which was a key figure I think that didn't really get picked up, is that we've continued to see a decrease in our total level of persons unemployed in long-term unemployment.
Right.
That decrease.
That's the worrying one, isn't it?
That's the really worrying one, because the longer someone is in that unemployment status, it's much harder to get them back and active in the labour market. And we saw a decrease of about 3,500 within that. So that was a real positive. So I'm kind of, maybe as an economist, a little bit aggrieved by some of the negative headlines that were there, because this is still really strong labour market, still is robust. We couldn't keep growing at the rates that we were over the past few years.
And on a wider picture, wage growth in Europe, it's stabilised, but it's still growing, and it might pose an issue when it comes to setting interest rates.
Yeah, so this was again something that got quite a lot of headlines as kind of we moved through the afternoon yesterday. And what we saw was that wage growth in Europe, it increased by 4.7% on an annual basis in the first quarter of this year. The reason why it got a bit of pickup was because it was stronger than what some economists had expected. And I suppose when we think back to, as we know, Madame Christine Lagarde was in Ireland this week.
She's in Kilkenny.
A proud Tipperary woman, it's the first criticism I've ever had of Madame Christine Lagarde is that she went to Kilkenny rather than
she
Tipperary.
She should have gone to Rosscrea or Clonmel or something like that.
Or Cashel, why not? We've plenty of lovely places in the Golden Vale. But she made it very clear there that, one, that she was very confident that we have defeated inflation, kind of gave an indication of that we are all guns ready to go for June the 6th, Thursday, 2 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. But that the two indicators that the ECB were going to watch for the rest of the year was wage growth, inflation, and the profits of businesses. Mm. They expect to see strong wage growth inflation this year, and they wanted to taper a bit next year. Remember, there's a lag with everything.
Obviously.
We saw incredible costs increase for businesses last year. And that was eventually going to see an increase in wage growth this year. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting it here in Ireland as well.
Because employees go to their bosses and say, gosh, I need the money.
Yes, to keep up with the cost of living. So that will filter through. Another interesting part, though, of the figure yesterday that probably is a reason why it was stronger than what many industry or economists had expected was that there was a bit of a one-off kind of bonus within Germany as well. So it was part of their cost of living measures that the government had introduced a tax-free one-off bonus scheme, essentially encouraging employers to give employees a higher bonus at their review period at a tax-free basis.
And that feeds into inflation.
But it's a cost of living measure. It's a one-off. I'm not too worried about it yet, because the ECB has stressed that they were expecting high wage growth inflation this year. Mm-hmm. The key to it is, and as Madame Lagarde said, is now to see how profits of companies fare this year. They want to see that some of those higher costs are actually absorbed by companies rather than a clear pass through, which is probably what we have seen to a degree over the last year or so. Yeah. But that kind of needs to stop now. But really positive coming from her this week, that commentary.
What's your gut instinct? Do you think that she will cut maybe two or three times before Christmas?
This is where it gets really hard. If you had asked me a week ago, I was still a little bit nervous to fully commit to June even. Mm. Now, from her commentary this week, I'm quite happy and satisfied that June the 6th is going to occur. Mm. But after that, that path of decrease beyond that is really tricky to navigate. Mm. I do think we'd see one more, whether we'll see three in total. That's a little bit hard to call at this point.
Kate, thank you so much for coming in. That's Kate English, a director with Deloitte. Any plans for the weekend, Kate?
Well, Tipperary, just to support them one last time in Thurles on Sunday. And
Well, have a lovely time. Hopefully the weather will be lovely for you. Breakfast Business with Enterprise Ireland on News Talk.